Gail should not be feeling this amount of stress this far along in her pregnancy.
Gail has had a tough third trimester.
Seriously.
Disrespectful Dawson. Table 9 does not have their wine. And now this. And now this.
Oh, Dawson, look, there's your mom.
Back to you, Bob. Accept your perfect life, Dawson. It's reality.
Cleanup continues to...
982. Back to you, Bob.
Hello, and welcome to Back to You, Bob, a Dawson's Creek podcast. We're your hosts, Christina and Micah, and this is episode 414, A Winter's Tale, which originally aired on February 7th, 2001.
Wait, February 7th?
Yeah.
I should have aired this on a week later on Valentine's Day.
They missed the opportunity.
Because it's such a romantic episode.
There's a lot going on in this episode.
What is the Dawson's drink for episode 414, A Winter's Tale?
We are drinking Après-Ski. It is a variation on the old-fashioned. It is pecan-infused bourbon, Amaro Nonino, blended scotch, Demerara syrup, and Angostura bitters. Something to warm your soul on the slopes.
Yeah, that does sound good.
Nothing hits better than a cocktail after a day of skiing.
It does sound like it'll warm you up. Like, it literally sounds like it would warm you up. So we love that. I usually do an Aperol after skiing, what are your thoughts on Aperol spritzes? I mean,
I love an Aperol spritz. I never order them.
Yeah, it's just like, what's the point?
Yeah.
It's like good for a few sips, but you're not going to get a buzz.
Right. Like, if I'm standing on a cliff overlooking the ocean, I'm envisioning an Aperol spritz in my hand.
I'm envisioning jumping, but... Well, yeah, I mean, I do an Aperol spritz, but I don't know why. Because I see other people drinking them, I think, and I'm like, oh.
Yeah, it's acceptable.
I don't know if I'm ever going to get to Italy. I also equate Aperol spritzes with, you know, an Italian summer.
I guess when I said cliff, that's what I was picturing. Myself in Italy, not just like a random cliff.
You know how everyone went to Italy last summer?
Yes.
Everyone's in France this year.
You started that trend.
Well, I went to the mountains in the spring, but it feels like everyone's in Paris like the summer. How do people know what the trendy vacation is?
I don't know.
Who sets that?
If anybody knows, let us know.
Where are we going next summer?
Is there some kind of almanac we should be looking at?
Is there any chance that Carlsbad is going to be the trend for next season? Because if so, I'm there. Should I dive in to the recap for episode 414, A Winter's Tale?
Please do.
Episode 414, A Winter's Tale, opens with Gretchen giving Joey and Pacey a send-off for the senior class ski trip. She warns them that it's going to be chock full of the cruel and unusual. Apparently, when she went, someone got pregnant, someone got arrested, and some girl's hair caught on fire. Gretchen tells Joey that she should call Dawson during the trip because of everything that's going on with Mr. Brooks. Meanwhile, Jen is feeling guilty about leaving Grams alone at the hospital where Mr. Brooks is in a coma and on life support. Jack tries to convince her that she should have fun on the trip. On the bus, Jen's complaining about not knowing how to ski when someone yells that everyone planning to get laid should get on the bus, which makes things super awkward for Joey and Pacey, who have been having a lot of sex talks. So Jen keeps pushing Jack about Toby, wondering why he won't give him a chance. Jack finally admits that Toby's too gay for him. When it's that obvious, it's kind of a turnoff. Drew, meanwhile, has managed to sneak Anna onto the trip, and he keeps taunting Pacey about getting some action this weekend. So at the hospital, Dawson learns that Mr. Brooks is basically stuck between dying and dead, being kept alive only by machines. Apparently, when Dawson signed that healthcare proxy last episode, it meant that he now has the power to decide whether to keep Mr. Brooks on life support or let him go. The doctor tells Dawson's parents that even though Dawson is 17, state law means that he has to make this decision. Mitch and Gail are freaking out about how their teenage son has to decide someone's fate. Mitch thinks Dawson should pull the plug, but Gail doesn't want him making any decision at all. Dawson's completely lost about what to do. At the ski resort, Mr. Kasdan announces no mixed gender sleeping arrangements and that the minibar keys have been confiscated. But the second he leaves, Drew grabs a bunch of keys and starts handing them out, giving Joey and Pacey a room together. Jen and Jack are going to be rooming together as well, and Jen immediately slips on the ice. So in their fancy suite with a king-size bed and a fireplace, Pacey accidentally turns porn on while channel surfing. Joey looks horrified and he quickly turns it off. This leads to a little bickering between them, and the tension about them having sex is already through the roof. Over in Jen and Jack's room, she thinks that she may have sprained her ankle and she wants Jack to help take her pants off for a bath. Jack says absolutely not because of boundaries, which gets weird, and then Jen starts undressing anyway and he has to stop her. So Gretchen visits Dawson and gives him a pep talk about being an adult, and she tells him that he has incredible judgment, and that's probably why Mr. Brooks chose him to make these decisions. He has better judgment than any adult she knows. Dawson says that he's never lost anyone close to him before, and this is completely out of his depth. So at dinner with the whole ski trip, the conversation turns to sex. Drew's being his usual charming self, saying that girls have it easier and should be the ones carrying condoms. Anna suggests that all the guys should show their wallets to prove who has condoms and who doesn't. Every single guy pulls out a condom except for Pacey, who claims that he forgot his wallet back at the lodge. After dinner, Joey confronts him about his lie. She knows he has his wallet. When he finally shows it to her and she finds the condom, she gives him a look that she's devastated and disappointed and walks away. Back at the hospital, Dawson talks with Grams in the chapel about praying and making impossible decisions. He tells her he either wants Mr. Brooks to recover or die without suffering, and his instincts are telling him to keep waiting. Joey and Jack, meanwhile, connect, and she opens up about being scared of sex. Jack gives her some real talk about how, in this case, there might not be a right choice or a wrong choice. There's just a choice. He tells her that the really exciting things in life require more courage than we currently have. And sometimes fear is how you know what's worthwhile. So then Dawson wakes up in Mr. Brooks' hospital room and finds that his old friend that we've been hearing about, the one who stole his girlfriend 40 years ago, is there for a visit. He explains that Mr. Brooks wrote to him asking for forgiveness, and so he came to say goodbye. He tells Dawson that Mr. Brooks always believed the answers to life's questions could be found in movies, which obviously resonates with Dawson. So Jen is dealing with her ankle pain by raiding the minibar. So by the time that Jack gets back to their room, she's pretty drunk. Jack says that he wants to do something stupid and reckless because he's tired of being so cautious. He's fresh off of his conversation with Joey. They start talking about being scared, and Jack admits that he's afraid that he'll always be someone's friend or brother, but he'll never be someone's everything. Then the alcohol takes over and they start making out furiously. So Anna, meanwhile, invites Pacey to the hot tub. She shows up in her bikini, and Joey, of course, is upset about this, and a massive fight ensues. She accuses him of wanting someone more fun and experienced than her. Pacey's trying not to take the bait, but finally calls out the elephant in the room. He says that Joey's scared because she always thought her first time would be with Dawson. He's terrified that she's holding back because of that. Joey is offended and storms out. So Jen and Jack's drunken makeout session escalates until Jen realizes what a terrible idea this is and stops it. She points out that he's drunk, lonely, and gay. And so this isn't going to end well for anyone. Joey calls Dawson per Gretchen's advice in the cold open, and they have this conversation about letting go that applies to both of their situations. Dawson's talking about Mr. Brooks, and Joey's talking about her own fears with Pacey. When they hang up, there's this sense that they each have closure and they know what they need to do. They both need to say goodbye to something. So then they pull the plug on Mr. Brooks and he finally passes away. Meanwhile, Pacey runs into Anna at the hot tubs and she tries to seduce him. She's like, sex isn't a big deal, we're adults, we should just do it. And Pacey shuts her down hard. He tells her that they're not even close to being adults and he has someone he wants to be with for more than one night. He explains that for him, sex isn't just sex. It's about sharing the most intimate thing possible with someone, no matter how long you have to wait. Joey overhears this and she realizes why she loves him. They make up and they head back to their room, with Joey telling him that he doesn't always have to be perfect and she doesn't always have to be so afraid. Back in Capeside, Dawson, Gretchen, Grams, Mitch, and Gail watch one of Mr. Brooks' old movies together. Back on the trip, Pacey starts brushing Joey's hair and she asks if he still has his wallet. He says he thought they were done talking about sex, but she clarifies that they are. She takes the condom and says that she wants to throw the wrapper away. Then she launches into a speech about all the little things he does for her, carrying her bag, bringing napkins to the movies, taking golf shots first to show her the path, teaching her how to drive, remembering her mom's bracelet at prom. She says that he kissed her first, and he counted to 10 the second time in case she wanted to stop. He bought her a wall and understood that during the 3 months alone on the boat, why she wasn't ready. All this time, she's undressing him, and she asks if he really needs to ask why she's ready now. Joey tells him that she's going to count to 10 and then start kissing him, and if he wants her to stop, he'll have to tell her. But instead of counting, they kiss and fall off screen. And that's episode 414, A Winter's Tale.
What an episode. What an episode.
Oh my God.
A classic.
This is going to be a lot of people's favorite episode, I think. Certainly of season four.
Certainly. I have thoughts, though, but we'll get into it. We'll get into it.
Are your thoughts that Joey is a psychopath?
One of them. That's one of them.
For sure. So who wrote A Winter's Tale?
This episode was written by Zach Estrin and Chris Levinson. They are consulting producers on this season of the show. So I'm guessing that means that they're in the writer's room. I don't typically see. Do you typically see consulting producer as a writer credit? Or is it only if people who come and go?
It depends. My guess would be that they maybe weren't in the room every week, but they gave notes.
Sure, sure.
That I've only been on one show where there were consulting producers and they were former showrunners who took a step back for the next season.
Yeah.
And so they stayed on to just make sure the show was keeping the same tone and wasn't veering too far away from its identity. And, you know, so to keep the show on track, they read all outlines, premises, scripts, and then they did write, I think, two episodes that season, but they weren't coming to work every day in the writer's room.
So maybe that's the situation here. Maybe they're like a common voice keeping the thing together, but aren't there every day. Well, They wrote 407, You Had Me at Goodbye. That was their first episode with us. So if you want to go back and hear more about them, you can listen to that episode. And this will be their last script with the series. Two strong episodes.
Yeah, I'll say this. They went out with a bang.
Literally.
Literally. Who directed it?
This episode was directed by Greg Prang. He was last with us for 401 Coming Home. And he was first with us for episode 215. That is the question.
So he directed, that was part two of Jack's Coming Out.
Yes.
So also a very emotional, but this one had some emotional Jack stuff as well.
It did.
So maybe he's good at getting these emotional performances.
And that is the question, had emotional Pacey stuff too. And this episode has a lot of emotional Pacey stuff.
Yeah.
But we know him. We know Greg Prang. We love him. He's always around and he's not going anywhere. So that's that.
Now I have to say, I am very curious to who will get Guest Cast shout out.
I'm splitting it. I had to split it. And I feel bad even not giving it to the woman who played
Anna Evans.
Yeah.
So I actually looked up Anna Evans.
Oh my God. Are you going to do your own Guest Cast shout out?
Did you know her dad was like an Indian filmmaker? She's Indian.
The actress that plays Anna is Indian?
Look it up. Her last name is Singh, which caught my, because in the credits, I was like, who is Sabine Singh?
Yeah. Sabine, I would say.
Sabine. And then I saw that it was Anna and I was like, what is happening here? So then I looked up her dad is a Indian filmmaker, I think. Are you on her IMDb?
Yeah, it says he's an Indian Maharaja.
That's what it was. Filmmaker. And then her mom is white.
Austrian beauty queen mother.
Austrian.
Huh.
So I just thought that was interesting because, wow, what a twist.
What a twist. And I feel bad. So here we go. We'll just attack her on. Why not? We can have three Guest Cast shoutouts because she is another soap queen.
Mm-hmm.
158 episodes of All My Children. She's in a few episodes of One Life to Live. She's in all the standards, Law and Order, Criminal Intent, CSI New York. She's got a long, full career.
Yeah, but it ended a little bit like 10 years ago, maybe?
Yeah, 2010.
I have thoughts on her, but the actress, love.
Yeah, agree.
I thought she was great in This Week and Last Week.
But I couldn't give her the proper Guest Cast shout out for two reasons. First is Andy Griffith is in this episode.
Who knew?
What? Who knew? So, I mean, Andy Griffith, I feel like I don't even really need to tell you about him, but he was in The Andy Griffith Show, the star of The Andy Griffith Show.
I was like, I feel like you do. Yeah. I feel like you do because that's really all I know.
Sure, sure. Well, he plays Andrew, Mr. Brooks's friend who comes to bid him goodbye. He had his own show, 249 episodes, if we're being technical, from 1960 to 1968. But I feel like our generation knows him best from Matlock. Like, Andy Griffith Show, I know because of my family and I know because of school and stuff, but he was the original Matlock, which is currently being rebooted with Kathy Bates. He was in 181 episodes from 1986 to 1995.
Yeah.
crazy.
I really only know him from Matlock and Andy Griffith Show, but he has to have a bigger...
The thing that I always think is so wild is that just think about Ron Howard playing your son and then growing up to be Ron Howard. Like, that's nuts. Ron Howard played his son on the Andy Griffith Show.
Yeah.
His credits are wild. There's so many movies. There's so many TV shows. He was a very outspoken Democrat. He did a lot of like petitioning for Obama with Ron Howard back in the day in his first run. And he died in 2012.
Aww.
Which I feel like I remember him dying and it does not feel that long ago.
Growing up, I always confused Andy Griffith and Dick Van Dyke.
Oh, God. Love Dick Van Dyke.
Days of Our Lives star. Emmy winner for Days of Our Lives. Did you know that?
Really?
He just guessed it for like 2 weeks last year and won an Emmy.
Last year?
Yeah, he's 99. He was 99.
I know. He recently was in a... Let's just talk about actors we like. He was recently in a Coldplay music video.
Oh.
Have you seen it?
No.
You should look it up. I think it's called All My Love. Watch the director's cut. It is the cutest thing I've ever seen.
Okay.
They go to Dick Van Dyke's house. Chris Martin's there playing the piano, singing the song. He's like dancing. He shows them through all of his memorabilia. His family's there.
Oh. That looks cute. I'll watch it. I don't really like Coldplay anymore. They lost their edge. They're a little corny for me.
Oh my God.
They're a little corny for me now.
What's changed?
They have.
Interesting. Well, it's cute. It's Dick Van Dyke. It's fine. You're going to love it.
I'll look it up.
The other thing about Andy Griffith that I thought was really interesting is he had... Do you know what Guillain-Barré is?
Guillain-Barré syndrome? You know I don't.
He had Guillain-Barré, which is like this syndrome that comes on out of nowhere. And it's like,
you know,
maybe you're
going to
end up with Guillain-Barré.
I'm going to be convinced I have it after you tell me what it is.
I am not a doctor and I don't know the specifics of it, but I know there's a woman I follow on TikTok who had it and she got it when she was on vacation. Oh God, you're flying out tomorrow. She got it when she was on vacation in Spain and it literally just, you become like locked in your body. She was completely paralyzed for like weeks and she was in the hospital and they had to like roll her over and she was just like trapped inside syndrome, but it goes away. It's just like a inflammation thing or like a...
How do you get it?
I don't know. Here's the thing. I don't
know. I'm on record. If I get it on my vacation tomorrow, I'm good. Put me out to pasture.
Do you want me to sign your papers?
Yes.
Now?
Yes. Mr. Brooks here, Dawson.
Well, he had it and he couldn't work for like 6 months because his legs were paralyzed.
6 months?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Okay. Well, wow.
Yeah. So that's crazy. Okay. Part two, guest cast shout out. We're off the rails. Is Tony Hale.
Mm-hmm. I gasped.
Who knew?
I gasped. Boss star.
This is the second time that Tony Hale has caught me off guard playing a doctor on a show. This one. And do you know the second?
It was a drama, like not West Wing or something. What was it?
Sopranos.
Sopranos. I just always picture Lucille II played by Liza Minnelli being like, oh, Buster, with this little hook hand.
He's so great. He's playing Dr. Bronin, as we're saying. He is mostly known for Arrested Development. He was Buster Bluth in 84 episodes. I also love him from Veep. He was in 65 episodes of that. Such a funny show. But he has like a million credits. He's another one. Him and Andy both take a look and you're going to find something that you like. He's literally in an episode of Second in the City and he's in a Toy Story movie. Like, he spans everything and he's still working and he's still great. That's that.
And Dawson's did it first.
Dawson's did it first, baby.
Dawson's put a lot of people on the map.
It's true.
And he went toe-to-toe with JVDB in this. He said...
Toe-to-toe with a hormonal gale.
Little bucko, you better call your parents because this is life or death.
Gale said he shouldn't have to make this decision. And he said, well, it's the law, ma'am.
Postpone your algebra test. This man needs to live or die.
Ugh, God. Do you have a music moment?
My music moment would be the song that plays when Joey and Pacey sex. Or start to. When they're kissing. It's Tuck and Patty.
Take my breath away.
I love a Tuck and Patty. I love a Tuck and Patty. Dawson's moment.
Yeah, what was the other Tuck and Patty?
It was Flashback, Warm Nights, the Cyndi Lauper.
Oh yeah, Time After Time.
In, I think it was 301 or 303, somewhere. Like, I think it was Joey and Dawson sitting on the dock.
Good memory. It was 302.
Does Does every Joey have a Dawson? Does every Dawson have a Joey? I hope so, for their sake.
Look at you. Well, same, obviously. That's also my music moment.
Yeah, there wasn't a lot to choose from this episode.
Not a ton. There's some, like, there's Summer of 69 is in here, but it's just background stuff. It's not anything. Not anything worth talking about.
What about your past versus present?
I have a couple things. Did Mr. Brooks kill himself with the pills?
What do you mean? Like, did he kill himself by not taking them?
No, because Graham says at the bedside, he's in a coma from pills. And at the end of the last episode, his little pill box is spilled out on the table. Because I almost brought it up at the end of the last episode. I was like, why is there, are his pills everywhere? And then he's on the floor next to the pills. And then Graham's is like, he's in a coma from pills.
That is crazy. If so, because that totally went over my head. He must have.
But I don't know.
Well, Graham's told us. Believe women.
Yeah, but don't you think Graham's would be more upset? Like, I don't know. Maybe I just read too much into it, but I had never, that thought had never crossed my mind before.
Never crossed my mind.
Somebody let me know if Mr. Brooks killed himself or tried to kill himself and knew he might not succeed and therefore made Dawson his health proxy and made Dawson choose. I don't know. Second, this episode in my memory was like so cute and like so good and whatever. Pacey and Joey are miserable in this episode.
Miserable.
Holy cow.
Do you want to know what line I always, when I think of this episode, I think of two things. I think of her saying, you got me a napkin, so I rub the butter on the napkin instead of my pants. For some reason, that line 25 years later, like still, I always think of it. And then I also just, then my mind goes to Jack and Jen.
Yeah, sure.
Like Pacey and Joey having sex, but that line about the butter and the pop, because I remember the next day I was like, or that night I was like, she slept with him because like he gets her napkins. That's crazy. Obviously now I see it as like, you know, it was just a
anticipating her needs. Cute. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And then my mind goes to Jack and Jen, and they are a mess in this. Pacey and Joey are a disaster, but I think
disaster.
It's just the tension, the common, you know.
Yeah, no, it is, but I don't know. This episode, I was really, you talk often about how you felt like they were so much cuter and there's never really a moment where they're like, there's not turmoil. And this episode, I was like, wow, I misremembered this big time. So that's it.
Yeah. But I mean, I almost feel like she's self-sabotagey though. You know, like, I don't know how much of it is them.
No, I agree with you. She's awful in this episode.
She just wants, it's not that she wants to, I don't know what it is. She's just self-sabotaging, I think. So
she's just scared and she wants him to do something that's going to ruin it so that she doesn't have to deal with it. It feels like. Anywho, we'll get into it. Do you have a past, first, present?
Just kind of what we touched on last week, just the Dawson. I was so much more interested in the Dawson Mr. Brooks stuff than I was. I don't even remember him dying in this episode, A Winter's Tale. Like, I remember him dying, but I don't remember it being the same episode as Pacey and Joey. And then I just was more interested in it this time around. I would say the other big thing is, not a big thing, but I never noticed before how the teacher catches Jen drunk and kind of lets her go. That was just like something I never noticed in all my times, which is funny, I think. And
he's a fun teacher. I like him.
Like if you're chaperoning a trip and everyone's in one place and they don't have cars and they want to get like, I don't know.
And he's like, everyone, no co-ed sleeping or whatever. And then he just walks away and lets them handle the passing out of the keys.
He's funny.
He's unbothered.
Other than that, I do think now maybe he tried to kill himself. And I don't think that is something I ever picked up on.
Insane. And it makes so much more sense because the last episode, it felt like he was saying goodbye to all these people. And in my head last episode, I was like, oh man, he must really like feel like he's at the end. But maybe he was going to kill himself.
Yeah, I'm watching the end of last week's and his pills are out on the table.
Because they were in that little box and now they're like laying next to the little box.
My God, this changes everything. We need Matlock stat. We need Matlock on the case. Well, let's dive in. Let's crack it open.
Let's do it.
It's senior trip.
Oh man, what could be better? Did you go on a senior trip?
No, we did. We went on a trip every year, but it was like to New York City for the day. It was never an overnight trip at a private Catholic school, co-ed.
Never?
Never.
We went to Disney World.
What?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, we did.
Like the school organized it?
Yeah, it was my senior class.
And you all flew?
Yeah, we must have.
I mean, like,
I don't remember.
I mean, the school organized it or like student council organized it? I don't know. That's just, I can't even fathom it.
I mean, we had like teacher chaperones, the whole thing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, this group is not going to Disney World. They're not going to the happiest place on earth. They're all miserable. Jen says that she's going to have a horrible time because if you're looking forward to something, it's inevitably going to be a letdown. And then Pacey's like, oh, Miss Optimism has arrived as usual. Joey and Pacey are a disaster, as we've discussed.
Gretchen is there for a little color commentary telling them that the year that she went on her senior trip, someone got pregnant, someone got arrested, and someone's hair caught on fire. Which I'm like, there's no way that they didn't cancel this trip if all of that happened in one year. But
look, we've talked about Cape Side High.
They're fast and loose.
The teachers are abusive. They don't care. So Gretchen's hair is like super blonde and I'm into it. But is it new this week or is it? I've just never noticed how blonde it is. I think I'm noticing it because it kind of blends in with her like fur. What do you call this?
Collar?
Collar.
Like trim to her jacket?
Yeah, the trim collar kind of a thing.
Yeah, I think it's the same.
Well, I like it.
Gretchen's style icon.
And she's like, Joey, while you're off having fun this week. She doesn't say that. She says it much nicer. You might want to call Dawson because he's really going through something with Mr. Brooks. And then Jen is like, I feel really bad going. I shouldn't be leaving Graham's.
But I'm going to go.
I'm going to go and I'm going to be miserable because everything's a letdown.
I'm going to go and I'm going to bring my wig.
I'm just living for the winter wear, the snow apparel.
Oh my God, I love it. What is better than a ski trip, honestly?
I love ski trips now.
There's also like, obviously that one teacher is on this trip, but are there any other teachers? Because that one kid's like, hey, anybody that wants to get laid, get on the bus. Like nobody's trying to tamp these kids down. They're just like, yeah, go for it.
I think they show a couple older-ish chaperone-y looking people in the background, but I don't think anyone's really featured. Out of the gate, Joey is attacking Pacey. Pacey's like, everyone likes a little vacation. And she's like, what do you mean? What does that mean?
Why would we need a vacation? People like us? Do people like us like vacations? What does that mean to you?
What, it's like your life's so miserable, you need to get away? You need to get away from me? Too bad, I'm coming.
Jen, out the gate, is pushing Toby on Jack. I can't stand it.
This is a little risque for today's times because she's like, why don't you like him? Too smart, too handsome? And he's like, he's too gay. Like, that's wild. I leaned back. Because like you can't say that. Like you can't say someone's too gay or too feminine or.
But also, I don't think that's true. It's a weird thing for Jack to say. I think the reason Jack doesn't like him is because he's a freaking creep. He's coming around. He's being a creep. He's being too pushy. And he's being mean.
Yes. He is. But I think he represents that lifestyle that Jack's still too scared of.
Gay agenda.
Yeah, yeah.
He's too loud and proud.
Too loud, too proud. Yeah.
Drew sneaks Anna on this trip. Like nobody's going to notice a girl that doesn't go to their school.
But guess no one does.
No one does.
Cape Side High. Not doing the public school system any favors.
Again, just to commend Dawson's on their flawless stories, no holes, etc. Dawson needing to be with Mr. Brooks is the perfect reason for him to not be on the senior trip and therefore Joey and Pacey to have this time.
Yes, it's true. So I'm actually worried about myself because I honestly watched this episode maybe like 3.5 times and I did not once clock Graham saying he's in a coma brought on by pills.
But you see it now? I'm not crazy, right?
Yes. Or maybe I guess I did or I thought it was like he's in a coma because he didn't take his pills.
Sure.
He remains in a coma brought on by pills, she says. The machines attached are keeping him with us. God, he never, Mr. Brooks killed himself. It's like a mercy killing.
Wild.
This show. Look at this. Look at this.
25 years later, still surprising us.
Well, that would be my past versus present because I totally understand mercy killing now. I remember when I was young, I was like, Dr. Kevorkian, send him to jail. But now I'm like, it just makes sense, honestly, if like you're terminally ill and, you know.
And suffering, for sure.
Yeah.
R.I.P. Mr. Brooks.
Not yet.
Not yet.
He's kicking. He's hanging on.
I also love that Graham's is a nurse.
Mm-hmm.
Like just in this context, like she knows everything that's going on. She knows like, I don't know. I feel like her and Dawson in this being a little tag team in this are a good pair. She's a good support for him. She's not emotional. She like knows what's coming. You know, she feels grounded in this.
Yeah. Definitely. Joey is carrying the two bags and she carried them to the bus too. And I thought it was weird because Pacey's only carrying a grocery bag.
Pacey's suitcase is a brown paper sack.
There must have been a line that they cut where like he offered to do it originally. And she was like, no, I got it just from the tension. Like she doesn't want any help from him. There has to be.
Yeah.
because in the next scene, he's like, just let me take it. This is ridiculous. And he takes the two bags. There must have been a setup that we didn't see. And poor Jen takes the fall.
Oh my God. Well, it's canon. Jen is a klutz. If you remember, she got tripped up in the soccer goal that one episode. She's always fallen. Dawson looks good in this Tony Hale scene.
His the wind hair, is
blowing through his hair. Yeah.
His hair is everything.
It's really good. And Tony Hale's acting his little butt off.
He's good at drama.
Yeah. He's not just a funny man.
He's like, look, Sonny, you have responsibilities.
And so, okay.
I have this question too. I already know what you're going to ask, I think.
Did Mr. Brooks dupe Dawson into signing the papers so that he would ultimately make this decision?
I think so. But my question is, did he also want to do the medicine? No, the medicine thing must have just been a ruse.
Yeah. How quickly he made him do it and kind of so Grams wouldn't see makes me feel like it was ultimately for this.
And as Gretchen says, Dawson is very wise and he's morally good, I guess. So Mr. Brooks trusted.
He knew who would make the right decision.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is heavy stuff. Like, I wonder if his thought process was, let me get this kid to sign these papers so that if something happens in the meantime, he'll make the right decision. But ultimately, I'm just going to take care of it myself. But then it didn't go as planned. Like, I don't know.
I know. Now that we know that he tried to kill himself, there's flaws in the story. That's why I don't like it. Because you wouldn't need a proxy if you were going to kill yourself.
Right.
And I like it better when he was not, like, him killing himself, quote unquote, was him not taking his pills. Like, he was just, I can't live with these unanswered questions. AI, Albert.
Who do we have to call? Chris, Zach, we need your help.
Can you imagine if we put the writers on the pot and we were like, we need to know. And they're going to be like, what are you talking about, freak?
They're going to be like, we don't remember that.
What happened? We'll never know.
Wait, maybe we'll know. I hope. Please, Lord, let us know.
So Mitch and Gail meet with Tony Hale and Grams and Dawson, and they're like, our son can't do this. Like, he's just a teenager. And he's like, tough darts. Make a decision. Discuss it amongst yourselves.
Gail should not be feeling this amount of stress this far along in her pregnancy.
Gail has had a tough third trimester.
Seriously.
Disrespectful Dawson. Table 9 does not have their wine. And now this. How does John Wesley Shipp maintain this glowing tan in the winter months of Wilmington, North Carolina?
He must be a brother in spray tans.
I love it. Today I did the booth for the first time.
Oh, you did a booth? I've never done a booth. Isn't that like Friends when he just gets sprayed on the one side?
Yeah, and you can honestly, this is my first time doing a booth. Usually a person does me. But you could see how Ross got into that situation because there's a very long delay from when the person leaves the room. I almost got out to ask and I was like, I can't do a Ross from Friends. So I kind of just kept waiting. It's honestly like a 2-minute wait.
Whoa.
And then the machine just starts talking to you and it's like very easy from there on.
I'm curious if you'll like the results. Please keep me posted.
For sure. I also went naked, which I've never done before.
I've done that one time with a lady. And then I was like, this is way too intimate.
Wait, you got naked with the lady there spraying?
I wore a thong. But that was it.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I feel like topless is whatever.
It still felt very intimate.
One of my best friends, my friend from high school, is like a spray tanner at night. She's a teacher by day. And she's like, I've seen it all. Nothing bothers me anymore. Like, I've seen.
That's what they say.
Naked men, women. She's like, I actually prefer it when they're naked because it's just easier.
Easier. Yeah. These are the nicest
cabins.
Cabins for a school trip. For our senior class trip, they packed us in there. We were in 4 people in a 2 queen bedroom.
That's not right. I love these little cabins. So our Jack is with Jen and Pacey's with Joey. They've broken the co-ed rooming rule.
And Drew basically assigned those two couples rooms, which is interesting because he really only cared about the 4 of them, himself and Anna, and then he tossed the keys back to the kid.
Joey's sweater, I want it.
Yeah, Joey's sweater, I want it.
It's amazing. And then Pacey's like, what do you want to do, watch TV? And she's like, watch TV like this is Capeside. Pacey cannot do anything right.
Nothing. He's like, man, this is bringing me back to last summer, all those great things we did. And she's like, oh, get a life. This is all we ever do.
Just what? Like, shut the hell up.
She's like, you mean last summer when I wouldn't have sex with you and you were so mad at me?
Oh my God. She's cold. She's had it.
She's miserable. And he's like, let's watch some TV. And he turns it on and you hear porn in the background. And he's like, look, sex is like food. It's like water. It's like air. It's everywhere. And she goes, can we breathe something else?
Also, the look that she gives, like he accidentally turns on like an adult channel at a hotel. And she looks at him like he just shot her.
Yeah. How dare like, you?
How dare you? Turn the TV on.
And he's just trying to be so sweet. And she gets on board for about half a second. And then she just goes off. And then she'll be like, okay. She's like, can it just not be about sex? And he's like, it doesn't have to be about sex.
And this is where she first says, like, we have a lot of tension here for the last week. And it's residual from, you know, last week, their conversation that they had at the end where they're both scared and they both said they want to do it. But the tension between them, I think, was kind of compounded when that kid screamed like everyone's going to have sex. And then Drew is clearly trying to sleep with Anna or is sleeping with Anna, I should say. And so it's just like a very sexually charged trip. And Joey isn't having it.
You know who's not worried about it? Jen. Jen is like, hey, Jack, I'm taking a bath. Help me take my pants off.
So there's stages to her leg injury. This is stage one. She just twisted it a little. She's fine. She can walk in it. She just wants to take a bath.
And he's like, ma'am, no, I don't want to see you naked. Do you want to see me naked? And she's like, maybe.
And Jack has a disc man and he's like loading it and unloading it.
I feel like so many people had that sweater that he's wearing.
Yeah, Pacey's looked familiar too. Are they still in their American Eagle era or is that over?
They might be. Mm. These are feeling very American Eagle. Also, while we're on the topic of clothes, in the next scene, Gretchen brings Dawson some food in a picnic basket, which is wild to me. She is wearing red pants and a green plaid shirt. Where was this outfit at the Christmas party? At the Christmas party, she was wearing a beaded blue flower shirt.
One thing about Gretchen, she'll throw you a fashion curveball. She will blend her hair in with her collar trim. She will wear Christmas collars on Valentine's Day.
So she keeps this on her toes. And they confirm in this scene that Dawson is 17. We talked about that last episode.
Yes.
Dawson's 17, Gretchen's 21. She's robbing the cradle.
Gretchen and Dawson would have the kids with the nicest hair.
Ugh. Amazing.
Both of their hair. It's like a lion's mane. Her hair is just...
really great. Really great stuff.
Yeah, she was really cranking the herbal essences or whatever we were doing then.
Follicularly blessed. The four, Jen, Jack, Joey, and Pacey decide to go out for dinner. I guess all the kids decide to go out for dinner. And Jen, freaking mess. Slips on the ice again.
And it's a great fall. How do you think they film this?
It's a stunt person for sure.
Doesn't it look just like her?
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, Michelle Williams is wearing a wig in this episode, so they probably just put her wig onto the stunt person.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think that if you play it pretty slowly, I feel like because they're in outerwear, so she's wearing a pretty bulky jacket. I think there's a pad on her back.
I know, but I watched it a lot. I mean, it looks just like Michelle Williams. I watched it over and over.
Yeah, it really is. I think it's an old trick of the camera.
Because like you said, she probably has a pad under her clothes, but usually, you know, when they do stunts, they'll put a pad down, do a close-up of the person falling, and then do a pickup. Either film the fall from like a very short distance, and it's a pickup, and they just edit it together to make it look like it was one big swoop, or they'll just pick it up with the person on the ground getting up. But this was a wide shot the whole time. I was just very impressed with it.
Yeah, that was a good stunt for sure.
So we did, I think, forget to talk about how when Dawson says that his age, 17, he's basically saying, I shouldn't be dealing with this. I'm just a kid. I should be on my senior trip. And then that's when Gretchen says, you know, you're wiser than most 17-year-olds I know, but also most adults. And he did this for a reason.
And I think it's true, honestly. If I had to put my fate into one of these people's hands, it would be Dawson. He's a thinker. He's not going to take it lightly.
For sure. Dawson or Jack, for sure. Or Pacey.
That's what I was going to say.
There also is really a set, you know, when like Dawson and Gretchen are talking about the first person they knew that died. And Gretchen says that like their grandfather died on her 8th birthday. And he was like the funniest and sweetest man. And then I think Dawson says he didn't really know his grandfather well, but he remembers his grandfather dying, but they weren't close. So he must have been lit a little.
Yeah, he says he was two, I think.
Yeah.
Very sweet. Back at the trip, they're out to dinner and Jack and Jen aren't there, I'm guessing, because she got hurt. So they went back to the cabin. So Pacey and Joey end up at a table with Anna and Drew, or across the table from Anna and Drew. And they're talking about, Anna's talking about sex, and Joey's kind of not with it. And Drew's like, what, Joey? You don't have anything to contribute? And they get into this whole conversation about sex, which leads to them talking about how all men have condoms in their wallets. And Anna's like, come on, boys, take them out. And Pacey says, oh, I left mine back at the cabin, at the lodge. And after dinner, they're all walking out. And Joey's like, why did you lie about your wallet? And he's like, I didn't. And she's like, it's in your pocket. And he pulls it out, and there's a Durex in there.
The scandal of it all.
Did you carry condoms in your wallet?
Of course not.
You're not supposed to.
Yeah, I think it like hurts their effectiveness. I just love when they're in the restaurant. It just reminded me of, again, like a very effective set. Because like I remember our parents used to take us to those like red and white, was the plastic?
For sure. Like vinyl top
pizza places. Yeah. And you could almost just like smell. Oh, you could like smell the pizza. And
mm-hmm.
Although if you're our age, my age, I also remember there being like a smoking section and a non-smoking section. So like there's some cigarette smoke blended into that memory. I just had a visceral reaction to the set, as I do.
I'm with you.
And Pacey having a condom in his wallet has just now sent Joey like a rocket. She was already halfway there, but now she's...
to the moon.
She's rabid. She's just foaming at the mouth, basically.
She absolutely is.
And we love a good chapel. We love a good hospital chapel scene. You gotta have it. You gotta have it.
I feel like every good show has one hospital chapel scene.
The show's good. The show's worth watching.
Dawson stumbles upon Grams and they have a little heart to heart. And he's like, I don't know what to do. And she says, you gotta go with your gut. And he says, I think we should wait. She says, great, then we'll wait. Again, I really like this duo in this episode.
Yeah, I've always really liked their little relationship. You know, like she's the neighbor who thought he was like a little annoying, depraved. Yeah, like...
promiscuous kid.
They've had a good journey.
Indeed. And then another two that I love to see have scenes together, Joey and Jack, are sitting and watching the rest of their classmates just be like wild animals, basically, and having snowball fights and ice skating. And the takeaway is Joey is so stressed about this sex decision. She won't stop talking about it. And she's like, I'm just so scared I'm going to make the wrong choice or the wrong timing or it's not going to be right. And he's like, what if there isn't a right decision or a wrong decision? It's just a decision. It's just a bunch of choices. There's no right or wrong. And you know what I thought when I heard that? Jack is sagacious.
So sagacious.
Oh my God.
You know, one thing about Jack, he's going to drop a philosophical bomb on you. And you know, it's going to get you to think.
It's going to turn the tides. You can see it in Joey's furrowed brow. She's taking it in.
Yeah.
She's taking it on board.
She's like, my boyfriend turned on porn. He has a condom. I just don't know what the right decision is.
I like in this scene, so Jack is saying to Joey, the only truly exciting things in life are the things that you don't currently have enough courage to do. And that like sometimes being scared is how you know things are worth it.
Mm-hmm.
And then later in the episode, Dawson says, if we weren't afraid to let go, we wouldn't feel so free when we did.
Right.
Some good truth bombs in this episode.
And that's when it all clicks for her, but we'll get there. We'll get there.
Yeah, yeah. I'm getting ahead of myself, but...
Dawson has fallen asleep at Mr. Brooks's bedside and he wakes up to Andy Griffith.
Andy Griffith just standing there. And Dawson is as taken aback as we were because he recognizes him from Mr. Brooks's pictures. And he's like, you must be his grandson because no one your age knows who I am, not from the pictures.
And he's like, I'm not his grandson, I'm a fan.
And Dawson finds out that Mr. Brooks wrote to him and...
told him he was dying.
And Andy Griffith says, you win, you bastard. We find out that his wife died. And he says, you win, you bastard. You're going to get to see her first.
Yeah, and he says, Mr. Brooks wrote him asking for forgiveness and there was nothing to forgive him for. The only one who couldn't forgive him was himself, kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
So he ended up with the woman they fought over. He married her.
He did.
But now Mr. Brooks is going to see her, Ellie, in the great beyond.
He says a piece of you always belongs to your first love, and he was hers. Mr. Brooks was his wife's.
He says, like, they're going to be reunited and be together, which is maybe how it should have been the whole time or something to that effect, which is interesting. Makes me wonder what happened between... what happened to that?
I know. Sounds like they had a long, hard go at it.
I smell a prequel spinoff. Andrew and Ellie. Andrew, Ellie, and Albert. Oh, my God.
Yeah. He says on his way out, thank you for writing and thank you for staying until I could say goodbye, which is really sweet.
Super sweet. And I mean, we'll get into it when it happens, but like, I really think people wait for people. I 1000% think that's true.
I think that's true too.
And he was waiting for him. But first, Dawson says, you know, I have to make this decision. I don't know how to do it. What do you think? And he says, every decision requires faith, or this decision requires faith. And Dawson doesn't know what faith is. And he quotes Miracle on 34th Street. And he's like, faith is when you do something, even though common sense tells you not to.
Believing in something.
And Mr. Brooks always thought you could find the answer to every question in like movies or something like that, which is something that Dawson says to Jen in the pilot.
Oh, is it?
He says, I have a working theory that all of life's problems could be found in a Spielberg movie or something. It's on the dock when As I Lay Me Down is playing.
Yeah. Cute.
He says something almost word for word, but it's about Spielberg movies specifically.
Yeah. Because after he says that to Dawson, Dawson says, me too. And he says, oh,
yeah,
like-minded soul or something like that.
Jen's drunk.
Jack comes home to Jen sitting next to the open mini bar. And he's like, what are you doing? How did you do that? And she says, you'd be amazed what a girl can do with a hair clip in a little bit of time.
I have such a trauma associated with hotel mini bars. Like, I don't know if your parents were like this, but our parents would like freak out if we ever went near the mini bar. Like,
oh yeah.
I think it used to be like triggered, like if it's open, they knew, like you got charged if it was open.
A lot of them still are weighted. If you pick something up. Yeah.
I haven't seen one in a good minute, but I remember our parents always being like, don't touch that. Like, there's like, if you want something, go down to the vending machine. Like,
I went on vacation with my family, not in the same hotel room, in April. And my mom and dad got there first, and she texted me immediately and said, do not touch anything in the mini bar. It is all weighted. Do not touch anything. Like, yes, I mean, I get it, but I think we all have this trauma about mini bars. Because I was like, what's the worst that's going to happen? I'm going to charge $25 for these almonds? Like, it'll be fine. It's like a bomb. Don't touch it.
It's like a bomb. It was crazy. So just watching Jen in it, I was like, the freedom of being able to just like crack a mini bar and have your pick of the litter.
Amazing.
So she's drunk. Her foot has gotten worse. Now it's completely wrapped in a bandage.
She's having a tough time.
And then Jack's like, you know what I want? I want to be dangerous. I want to do something reckless. I want to be stupid.
Anna shows up in Pacey and Joey's door in her bikini. Bold choice.
We need to talk about Anna.
Let's talk about it.
What happened? What happened between this week and last week?
What do you mean?
Why is she so mean to Joey? And like, why is she trying to steal Joey's man?
I think she's just really dumb. And I think that Pacey was nice to her. And that's all that stuck from the previous week.
Like, she's not a girl's girl.
She doesn't think it's that big of a deal. It's not like she's like, oh yeah. She's like, whatever. Like, we'll have sex. Whatever. It's not a big deal. Who cares?
Yeah, she does say that.
You have sex. I have sex. We have sex together.
I guess. I just, her flirting with Pacey and wanting Pacey is just so bold. And like, it's brazen.
Yeah.
I was just like, oh, she just helped you last week.
Yeah, no, she's bad. She's very bad. She's terrible. And then that every scene is just piling up on Joey's rage.
Yeah, she's like, don't you have a comment? Don't you want to go with her?
You think she's hot? Like, what? He's literally just sitting there. And she's like, I know that you want her, and I don't know why you even would want me.
In Joey's defense, I remember like a little bit of this, like when, like, because I was not doing any of this for a long time. And like when all my friends started doing stuff with like their boyfriends and girlfriends, I would get very judgy and bitter about it. But we talked about this because this is what Joey was like before with Dawson and Jen. I did kind of not shut down. I don't know what the word, just got really judgy and just angry. But it's more, it's because of what's going on. It's internal in her defense, which we know. But
in this scene, like, she's like appalled at everything he's saying. And he's not saying anything crazy. And he's like, there's nothing that I can say.
He's saying, if I was in this for the sex, I would have left like 7 months ago. But this is 8 months in. I'm obviously not in it for the sex. And he's like, I'm not going to apologize for wanting to have sex with you, because that's what, you know, people want to do.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with me wanting to have sex with you. And she's like, well, there's something wrong with me for not wanting to have sex. Like, everything she spins around. And then she says she's scared. And they're like, let's be scared together. And Pacey talks about what he's scared about and is vulnerable and lets her know that he's afraid that even if they do have sex, that she's going to, a little piece of her is always going to regret that her first time wasn't with Dawson. And she's sitting there listening to him, like, lip quivering while he's saying it. And then she is not vulnerable back.
She's just like, well, why would you stick around? Again, going back to the same stuff. Why would you stick around for 9 months if that was your fear? She's just not, yeah, she's really having a time. And that's when he decides to remove himself from the situation. She's brutal in this.
Oh, I really like that beat where when he does, he kind of leads her to Dawson. You know, like you said, he said, like, you're scared for a reason. It's because you're not going to lose your virginity to who you thought you'd lose it to. She does have a good beat there where she's like, Dawson, like, you've got to be kidding me. Like, this cannot be about him, too. Like, you can't go to Dawson every time we have an issue.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like that little, because it just, this isn't their first, you know, because the first three or four episodes of the season, it's all about her connection with Dawson and her wanting to make up with Dawson and her wanting Pacey to make up with Dawson.
Yeah.
I just liked her little reaction there.
Jack and Jen are getting drunk. They're hanging and Jack's getting emotional. And he's like, look, I'm just having a tough time. I'm scared. I'm never going to find somebody. And then he says, I'm scared. I'm never going to find a guy that I love as much as I love you.
Which is deep feelings.
It is.
Jen is sobbing. I would be, especially if I'm drunk. She gives him a little kiss on the forehead.
It's very cute.
Until it's not cute anymore and it's just hot.
Until they pull away and gaze in each other's eyes and go in for the real thing.
And she closes her eyes so soon. And then their kiss happens.
A full foot away.
And their kiss happens like tense. There's something like the scene is hot, but it's also just so weird.
That's really funny.
It's like you're watching like your aunt and uncle kiss or something.
Backlit by the fire.
But then you're also like, don't stop.
So Joey listens to Gretchen. She calls Dawson and they chit chat. Doesn't Dawson look like he's in a cabin as well? Is he supposed to be in his own room?
I think it's supposed to be his room, yeah. And he says your line, you know, if we weren't so afraid to let go, it wouldn't feel so good when we finally did. And then Joey's like, I'm convinced. I'm gonna sleep with Pacey.
Thanks, Dawson. And in the meantime, Pacey's walking around the camp and finds Anna. And she says, what's going on, bud? You helped me last week. I'm gonna come help you. I'll catch up with you later, girls. Little interstitial scene. And then we cut back to Casa de Jen and Jack. And they're on the floor, top off, making out.
Yeah. It's hot.
It's intense. That escalated quickly.
Jen stops them and is like, you're drunk and you're lonely and we can't do this. But they really, they either wrote to this or because the breadcrumbs are there, you know, because even at the college party, she's like, he says, I found your essay and on your computer. I didn't know you still had those thoughts about me. You know, like she makes comments about how hot Jack is.
All the time. But they're over it. They drink some water. They're going to be fine. They're going to be just fine. Next scene is in Mr. Brooks's hospital room. Did they decide to pull the plug?
Yes. So I think it was a mutual when Joey and Dawson were on the phone together, they mutually got each other to where they needed to be. So
okay.
Something that we didn't touch on that he also says after the, if you weren't so scared, it wouldn't feel so good when you let go. He says something about how it was almost like Mr. Brooks was waiting for Andrews, waiting to say goodbye before you move on kind of a thing, which I think is like Joey. That was also Joey being like, oh, I needed to have this conversation. This is our goodbye to move on. But then I also think Dawson was coming to that realization in that moment, like, oh, God, I think this is what he was waiting for. I know the answer now. Like,
yeah, got it. I was only looking at that conversation from Joey's lens. I didn't ever really think about Dawson's. And then obviously I assumed that they were pulling the plug because the doctor is there and all of the family is there, but I didn't feel like we ever got that explicitly from Dawson, but that makes sense.
Yeah, I think just like Tony Hale's reaction and the, but I mean, it's not Grey's Anatomy, but I don't know if they did the pulling of the plug the way it's really done, like because he dies.
No, they would have taken the tube out. They would have done all sorts.
Because he dies and then they turn off the machine. They probably did that just for the dramatic effect of the flatline. But I think when they decide to take people off, I think the machine shut down first, and then people go within like an hour or whatever.
Yeah, it's like the breath. Yeah, you're just breathing on your own.
They turned off his ventilator, and then the thing that they just that was going was still his heart rate. Which in that case, I think they did it right.
Great. Solve
this show. Even when you think you got them, you don't. Because they're like, that was not the ventilator, you stupid idiot. It was his heart rate monitor. Stupid moron. Dawson looks like AI in this scene. Skin impeccable. Hair flawless. Eyebrows thick as hell.
Thick as hell. Jen clumsily dumping the liquor bottles is classic.
Look, I've talked about it before. If I'm cuddling up with anyone on this trip, it's his teacher. He's a big teddy bear. I love him. I think he's cute.
He actually is cute in this.
What do you think about that? I was right all along.
His little flannel and his little crew neck.
Look, when you get on this side of 40, there's a lot of things that become cute that weren't cute before.
Anna's wild. She's just going for it with Pacey. He's trying to spill his guts about Joey and his feelings. And she's like, I don't understand. It's just sex. Like, let's just have sex. It's not that big of a deal. We're just adults. And he's like, no, we're not.
We're not adults.
And I have a lady that I want to be with for more than just a night. And I love her. And
yes, she's being psychotic. But I love her.
Says, I'm really sorry if I gave you the wrong idea. And turns around and there's Miss Josephine Potter watching the whole interaction.
Anna is just Selma Blair again from Cruel Intentions.
100%.
She's like, you don't want to have sex with me? So rude.
So they go back to the room. The most wild part of this episode to me, the wildest wild part that I have blocked out of my memory, is that Pacey asks Joey if he can brush her hair. Why? What? May I? And he awkwardly brushes her hair. What is happening?
Wait, I need you to elaborate. Are you impressed or are you not impressed or what's going on?
No, it's so weird to me. That is so weird to
me. It's not cute?
No, it's not cute to me. Hmm. Not how he does it. And why? Why would you want to brush my hair?
We don't know what he's into.
Well, she doesn't know anything.
Maybe he wants to play doll maker and doll.
Yeah, it's giving doll vibes. That's my whole problem with it.
I just assumed this was something straight people did.
I don't know. I don't know. I'm not into it. I hate it. I think it's terrible.
If you and your partner comb each other's hair at night, please let us know.
Yeah, I'm sorry if I'm being offensive. I hope I'm not, but I think it's really weird.
No, not offensive. It's just celebrate our differences.
So then after the hospital, they all congregate, Mitch, Gail, Grams, Gretchen, and Dawson. And Dawson says to Grams, you've never watched a...
No, she's like, why are we having this screening?
Yeah, one of his pictures. Are they watching the documentary, do you think, or one of his actual movies?
I think it's one of his movies, but I think it would have been better if it was the documentary, because in the last episode, you know, Mr. Brooks was like, screen it.
I kind of expected it to cut to the projector and to see
the
documentary.
The only thing, I mean, I know it could be the documentary, but since it's an old-timey projector, I just thought it was an old-timey movie.
And it's one of his movies. Like, I feel like they were...
Yeah, but I guarantee you, like, when I first saw this, I thought it was a documentary, for sure.
Yeah. Okay, sorry. Back to the hair brushing. So Pacey asks Joey if he can brush her hair, and then Joey says, do you still have your wallet?
He's like, Joe, we talked about this. And she's like, give it to me. And he's like, I'll throw it away. Or do you want me to throw it away? And she's like, I want you to throw the wrapper away. That line is iconic. Ooh.
Yeah.
For sure. Don't you remember? Oh my God. I remember quoting that for weeks, probably.
She's going for it.
I want you to throw the wrapper away.
And then this is when she lays out all of the things that he does to love her. How he carried both of her bags from the bus. He always brings back a spare napkin whenever they get popcorn so she doesn't rub her fingers on her jeans. And how he would always go first at mini golf so that she could see the path to the hole. And he taught her to drive. And he remembered that her bracelet was her mom's.
Great callback.
And then how he did the whole count to 10 thing when they kissed. He kissed her first, and then the second time he said he was going to count to 10 before he did it again. And if she didn't want him to, she was going to have to stop him. And she says, so I'm going to count to 10. Oh, she also brings up the wall. You bought me a wall. She says, I am going to count to 10 and you're going to have to stop me. She takes off his shirt. It's steamy.
Lots of tank tops in this episode.
So many tank tops. Oh my God.
This is burned into my brain, the scene. It was just like, they've never done a scene like this, really. Like, you see Pacey's like pecs, like his full.
Yeah, full breasts.
I remember their fingers, their hands intertwining. Like interlocking. Yes.
Yeah. It's also the thing that is burned into my brain are that, like, it's just the ambiance, like the glow of the fireplace, like all of that. And it does feel very intimate. I mean, we've said it before and we'll say it again. The two of them have great chemistry and do feel like believable partners. Like they have this, like, I don't know. It feels like they're both nervous. They're good actors, I guess. I don't know.
I mean, it's very, yeah, it's very convincing, well done, real. Works for me.
And then it just fades to black.
Now, What did you think when this episode was over? Do you remember? I remember thinking that they didn't really have sex. I was just like, there's no way. There's no way.
We've also been burned before. The episode before Sex, She Wrote. With the it was like three couples. Will they, won't they, did they, didn't they? So yeah. Totally. I think I'm with you. Show it or it didn't happen.
And that's the episode.
That's the episode.
And just like that, it's over.
We'll have to wait until next week to see exactly what happened.
Mr. Brooks.
R.I.P.
Yeah, his last episode.
I said it last episode, but I enjoyed the Mr. Brooks piece of the puzzle so much more this time around.
Yeah. And I think these few episodes of Pacey Joey fighting are over for a little while. So that'd be nice. They have drama, but I think they're more united for a little bit.
Sure.
What you watching?
Are you watching The Studio?
I finished it all in one day.
Oh my gosh. I'm only a couple episodes in, but I love it.
I love it. I was a little shocked at all the Emmy love, but...
Well, specifically, didn't they like sweep the guest actor category?
They swept the guest actor. I think they're like 5 out of the 6 nominations or like 4 out of the 5, something like that. Which, like, some of those people only have like a couple lines. I don't know. That was a bit much for me, but I like the show. I don't know if like if you're not in the business, how much you're going to love it.
It's very inside baseball.
Yeah.
But I think that's why I love it. Obviously, it's like, that's what we do. So the series as a whole is every scene is a oner, which is a one shot, meaning that they do it in one take. So like if anyone's watched Adolescence, it's the same thing. Those whole episodes were oners and it's more like a play. It's like you don't have the opportunity to stitch together multiple takes, whatever.
Meaning it's one shot. There's no cutaways. It's just the camera moving.
Yeah.
From person to person. No cuts.
Exactly. So like usually it would be if you and I right now were in a scene, the camera would be facing at you and the camera would be facing at me. And then the editor would cut between the two. But in this situation, it's just like the camera's looking at both of us and we just do what we do and that's it. And there's an episode called The Oner, which is, I think, the 2nd or 3rd episode. And it's the premise of the episode is that the director of the movie is trying to get this magic hour oner. And magic hour is a very specific time. It's like a matter of minutes where the light will be perfect to get this shot. So they only have the chance to do it 2 times. And Seth Rogen, as the head of the studio, he goes to set that day and they're like, please don't mess this up. And he just does everything to mess it up. But the reason that it's so meta is it is a oner. The entire episode of The Studio is a oner and they're shooting it at magic hour. So like the pressure that they're emulating in the episode is the actual pressure that crew of The Studio was feeling. I don't know. I just loved it. It like made me smile. My nerdy filmmaker heart smile.
Yeah, I do. I do really like the show. I like Chase Suey Wonder. She plays his assistant who gets promoted. I think she's a star. I've loved her. I first saw her in Generation on HBO Max. And I think she's in the new I Know What You Did Last Summer. I just think she's a star. There's just something like very watchable about her. I love her. Catherine Hahn, obviously, is everything.
Hilarious. Yeah. Her character is so funny in this.
Yeah. Ike Barinholtz. I mean, the cast is great. I guess, yeah, when it got all that Emmy love, I was just kind of like, what? Specifically in the guest category.
Yeah, yeah.
But what I do like about it is that it kind of paints like the network exec, studio exec side of it in like an absurd light. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if we've really seen a show come at it from like a network exec protagonist situation. So yeah, that's what I like about it.
And it's just really well done. It's like from a craft perspective, really impressive what they're doing.
That is a good Apple show. Yeah, that's probably one of my favorites too.
Yeah, agreed.
Well, that's episode 414, A Winter's Tale.
What a dream. We've been waiting to get here and now we are over the mountain. It's a beautiful thing.
What will be the Dawson's drink for episode 415, Four Stories?
We will be drinking the Quattro Smash. It is Bacardi, Saint Germain, grapefruit juice, and tonic water. Sounds like a little twist on the gin and tonic.
That sounds good. You know, I'm into gin now, so that sounds good to me.
Well, there's no gin in it, but there's grapefruit juice and rum, and I feel like the combination of those two things are like the bitterness of the grapefruit juice. I don't know.
Sounds refreshing, like a gin and tonic.
Should be good. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, me too.
All right. Well, we'll see you then.
See you then. Bye.